So we're going to look at three fathers this morning, three types of fathers, and we'll see where we fit here. And first of all, biological father. Now this one, there are plenty of biological fathers who are only just that. I just read of a man that had 34 children by 17 different mothers. He claimed that his relationship with his children ranged from good to non-existence. Certainly, he could not support 34 children, nor have a meaningful relationship with them. There's more to being a father than just being a father, isn't there? In America, this was from 2012, 57.6% of black children, 31.2% of Hispanic children, 20.7% of white children are living absent from their biological fathers. And the results are devastating. The lack of a father in a home has tremendous impact upon individuals and upon society. Children are four times as likely to be living in poverty in a father-absent home. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. Children without fathers at home are 10 times more likely to abuse alcohol or drugs. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric care come from fatherless homes. Children from a father-absent homes are 9 times more likely to drop out of school. That's from the National Principals Association. 70% of juveniles in correctional facilities are from fatherless homes. Children in father-absent homes are 11 times more likely to engage in violent behavior and 20 times more likely to be incarcerated. So in many cases, fathers have no contact or very little contact with their children. And no wonder children grow up not respecting authority. Fathers are the chief authority figure in the home. And one of the greatest needs in our nation today is to have men who realize they have a responsibility to raise their children. And that's why God ordained marriage and the home, to provide stability for children, for society, and for the nation. There's also the responsible father. Now, this is a father who is present in the home and cares for the physical and material needs of his children. He works hard and brings home the bacon. He teaches his children basic life skills. Look over at Luke chapter 11. Where Jesus talks about fathers here. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Well, verse 9 we'll start with. It says, "So I say to you, ask and you will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." That's talking about prayer. And prayer is so powerful. I just read the story of a young man that had left his home, and for 8 years he wandered around the country. He was from a Christian home, and finally the burden of sin on his back was so great that he stopped at a church, and he told the pastor, he says, "This burden of sin is so great, I need to be saved." And he came to know Christ as a Savior. And he thought after 8 years, maybe he should write home. So he did. His mother responded to his letter and he said, "You know, the very time that you were saved, your father passed away. But as he was dying, he was pleading for his son He says, Lord, my son needs you greatly. And as he prayed for his son and he passed away, his son was coming to know Christ as his Savior. There's power in prayer. And that's what Jesus said here. Ask and you will receive. But if you don't ask, you're not going to receive, are you? Verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so there are many responsible fathers that provide for the material and physical needs of their family. And they are to be commended for that, aren't they? That's just being a good father. But that's not the complete package. Being a biological family father, being a responsible father, and giving your kids three squares and putting the pants on them and providing for their physical needs. Fatherhood is more than that. There's also a spiritual father. Because it's not enough to be a responsible father in the natural realm. Christian fathers are to be spiritual leaders in the home. Let's look back, first of all, at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We covered this recently. We're going through Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are some pew Bibles if you don't have a Bible. But let's follow along here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, or your hand, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Teach them diligently. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15. This was Joshua's farewell address to the children of Israel. He had brought them into the land. The Lord had provided them victory over their enemies. And he challenges them. In verse 15, it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. That's where Abraham came from Babylon. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Spiritual father, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, 4. And those last three words, the admonition of the Lord, are the key there. Now you can teach your kids a lot of things, and you should teach them, right? How to work, how to be diligent, how to go to school, study, all these things are important. But the most important thing is their spiritual upbringing. Because that's not only profitable for time, but for eternity. A little girl with shining eyes and a little face aglow said, "Daddy, it's almost time for Sunday school. Let's go." They teach us there of Jesus' love and how he died that we might all have everlasting life by trusting in him. "Oh no," said Daddy, "not today. I have worked so hard all week. I'm going to the woods and to the creek. There I can relax and rest. I must have one day to rest, and fishing is fine, they say, so run along, don't bother me, we'll go to church some other day." Months and years have passed, but Daddy hears that plea no more. Let's go to Sunday school. Those childish years are over, and when Daddy is growing old, when life is almost through, he finds time to go to church. But what does his daughter do? She says, "Oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up almost all last night. I've got to get some sleep." Too late. A survey was taken of 600 teens in New England prisons. Not one of those 600 came from a home where family devotions that had family devotions or attended Sunday school. And when we've call for Bible school, I often have heard this response when I invite the parents to send their child to Sunday school or to Bible school. The parent will ask the child, "Jimmy, do you want to go to vacation Bible school?" And if little Jimmy says no, the parent will inevitably allow him to have his way. And to me, that is an example of parental irresponsibility. You don't do that in any other realm. The kid doesn't want to go to the doctor. You say, "Well, I guess you don't have to go." Doesn't want to go to school. You say, "Well, just stay home then with me. If you don't want to go." But when it comes to spiritual needs, we let the kid decide. And how do they know what they need? They know what they want, right? But they don't know what they need. If you gave them everything they wanted, then they'd be living on candy. The psalmist declares in Psalm 12:1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." There aren't many godly fathers. There aren't many spiritual fathers out there that are teaching their children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's why our country, as I had said at the Bible school program, we live in a country of chaos and confusion, especially with our children. They don't know what gender they are. They don't know what marriage, a real marriage, is. They don't know right and wrong. Why? Because we don't have leaders in our nation. And especially needed in our home, because that's going to affect the whole nation. It's going to affect the church. We need people that will stand for truth these dark days. When Hitler took over Germany, the church folded. You know that? The pastors, they just went along. I mean, whatever the Führer wants, that's what we want. We want to be good citizens. We just want to, go with the flow. Well, if you're going to stand against something, you're going to have people against you, aren't you? And Pastor Bonhoeffer ended up in prison and died in prison during World War II because he wouldn't go with the flow. He said, "This isn't right." So men, you need to stand in the gap. You need to be faithful to what God calls you to be. And by God's grace, you will. You can and you will. But you got to make up your mind that's what you want. You can't be double-minded. So what does it take to be a spiritual father, a godly man, a spiritual leader in the home? Well, first of all, in 1 John 2:14, it says, I write unto you, fathers, for you have known him who from the beginning, who is from the beginning. You have known him. First of all, you got to know the Lord as your Savior. And perhaps there's one here that doesn't know the Lord. You're not sure. I've talked to so many people, and you ask them, well, do you know you're going to heaven? Do you know that your heart is right with God? And they say, well, I sure hope so. Well, that's not the correct answer, by the way. Because the Bible doesn't teach a hope-so salvation. It teaches a no-so salvation. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And God gives it to us as a gift. That's the way we can know that we have it, because we can receive it by faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But so many people are living this installment plan salvation. I mean, I have to do my part. I have to put in my 2 cents, or I have to go to church. I have to jump through the religious hoops the church has. And then maybe, just maybe, my good will outweigh my bad on the scales of justice, and if they do, then maybe I'll make it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We just sang the song, didn't we? Jesus paid it some. Jesus paid part of my sin, and I have to pay the rest. No, it didn't say that. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You don't need Tide Pods or anything else. His blood. And blood is a staining agent. It's not a cleansing agent, is it? But his blood cleanses us white as snow. That's what the Bible says. Now, either believe it or you don't. So it begins with knowing the Lord. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. But then, do you know him? Do you walk with him as a believer? Do you have fellowship with him? Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord, that's where it begins. First of all, for salvation, and then for your life, seeking the Lord. So first of all, a godly spiritual leader knows and fears the Lord. Also, he is a godly example. Look over at, if you have your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now here, Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy, and he's showing him what it means to be a leader within an assembly, to be a good teacher. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's not enough to preach a good game. And believe me, when I preach, especially Father's Day, you know, I'm preaching at myself. But also, when I say Happy Father's Day, I'm saying it to myself too, right? But we need to practice what we preach. I heard of a preacher that his family had found this stray dog. And they liked this dog. They wanted to keep him. But then there was a notice in the paper that said that there was this stray dog that was missing, or this dog that was missing, and his family wanted him back. And he could be identified because he had 3 white hairs in his tail. Know what the preacher did? Cut off the 3 white hairs. And then when the man had heard about this dog being at this preacher's house, he came to claim it. And the preacher says, well, I thought you said in your ad that it had three white hairs in its tail. And his children were there, and they saw their father do this. He turned the man away, kept the dog. He said he lost those three children. They never had any respect for him after that. He didn't practice what he preached. You want to teach your kids honesty, then be honest. Be an example. A Malaysian proverb says a crab tells its young ones to go straight. A crab tells its young ones to go straight. Ever see a crab walk? Our words speak, but our actions shout. As someone has said, I would not give much for your religion unless it can be seen. Lamps do not talk, but they do shine. Your children are going to copy your actions. A godly example. But a good father also teaches his children by precept and practice. The Word of God must be made practical, as we read in Deuteronomy. These words which I command you shall be in your heart. That's where they got to be first. You can't teach what's not in your heart, first of all. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, all the time. Apply the Word of God to your life. It needs to be practical. You don't leave the Bible at church and live for the devil the rest of the week. You're to take it with you. Take it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Apply it to your circumstances. If you're cussing and swearing when someone pulls out in front of you, your children are going to notice, aren't they? And what do you think they're going to learn to do? Your children are going to learn how you treat your wife. If husbands that beat their wives, their sons grew up to be wife beaters. Amazing, isn't it? They become what you are. You're a mirror, or they're a mirror of what you are. Psalm 34:11, David said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And that's what we need to be doing as fathers, teaching the fear of the Lord. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4. We read chapter 3. Proverbs is all about teaching young men, young people, how to live. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting. Get understanding. And so it's just not knowledge. Knowledge in itself is worthless if it's not made practical. If it's not brought into the moral realm. Children need landmarks, they need boundaries. And as we mentioned, the 600 teens in prison that grew up in homes where they were never taught the Word of God. They were never taught right and wrong. And that's what Proverbs is all about, right and wrong. The right way and the wrong way. There's a way that seems right unto man, to the ends thereof are the ways of death. The Bible is all about warning. Don't go that way. That's why the commands are there. Don't go in that direction. Then showing us that through the Spirit of God, through salvation and Spirit indwelling, we can obey those commands. He'll empower us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another aspect of being a spiritual father is to discipline your children. That's not a popular word nowadays, is it? Ephesians chapter 6. An Englishman once who visited this country said that Americans have switches in their homes for everything except their children. It's become a lost thing in our society, has it, to discipline. That doesn't necessarily mean corporal punishment, but consequences for wrongdoing. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Today we have parents that obey their children. Whatever the children want, that's what we want to give them. That's what we want to do. What do you think we should do? Well, that's not leadership, is it? Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's important if you're a young person here today to listen to your parents. As we read in Proverbs, it'll preserve your life. Why make the same mistakes your parents made and suffer the same consequences? And sometimes they are very devastating. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Just as we read of God's discipline of his children, fathers need to do the same with their own children. We must have boundaries and consequences when they are violated. You notice this, we're not to exasperate our children. Do not provoke our children to wrath. In Colossians it says, don't discourage them. And we can discourage them too, can't we? By being unreasonable. By unkindness. We're to be kind to our children. By being critical and having unrealistic expectations. By hypocrisy. Expecting our children to do what we aren't doing or not do what we are doing. By partiality, favoring one child over another. We saw that happen in the case of Jacob and his son Joseph, who got the coat of many colors. And what do the other 11 kids get? Chopped liver? I don't know. They didn't get the coat of many colors, and it breeded jealousy. By partiality, I just mentioned that. By inconsistency, not keeping your word, promising to do something, then changing your mind, disciplining one day for an action and not the next, empty threats. By making excuses for your own wrongdoing. Us men, we don't want to be wrong, do we? It's hard to say, yeah, I was wrong. We always have an excuse. Making excuses for wrongdoing. We need to be transparent with our kids, don't we? by a failure to spend time with our children. We need to listen and to talk with our children. That child needs to be heard as well. Have a conversation with them. You might scare them, you might shock them. They might say, "Who are you anyway?" You know, if you're a father that's absent. And so we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the training. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct your son and he shall give you rest. Yes, he will give delight unto your soul." Here's a little poem. It says, "There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do, for the little boy is waiting to grow up to be like you." Those are sobering words, aren't they? And they should be a challenge to us. What kind of example are we setting? What kind of a job are we doing as fathers? And I know we can all look at ourselves and we can see deficiencies, can't we? We all could improve. And we can. And if we have failed in some area, we can confess our sins. He's faithful and just, forgive us. Forgetting those things which are behind. You can't do what you didn't do yesterday, can you? But you can resolve, as Joshua did, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So, fathers, this morning we honor you. Young people, you can truly honor your father today by heeding his instruction as unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.